Okay, so we'll go ahead and begin the meeting. Welcome everyone to the San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District Board of Directors meeting this January 12th, 8 a.m. At this time, we'll go to the agenda, and on item number one is the Pledge of Allegiance. So, Ruben, can you tee that up for us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great, thank you. Go to item number two, roll call of the Board of Directors. And is Vanessa, are you available to call the roll?
Yes, President Chavez. Director Fellow?
Here.
Director Trevino?
Here.
Director Garcia? Vice President Santana?
Here.
And President Chavez?
And I am present. Thank you. So let the record show that four out of five members, directors, are present for today's meeting. We'll go to item number three, the adoption of the agenda. The agenda has been presented to us, and is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved by Fellow, seconded by Trevino to approve the agenda as presented to us. And we'll take a roll call vote. Vanessa? Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That item passes on a 5-0 vote, and welcome Director Garcia. We'll go to item number four, which is the public comments. Anyone wishing to speak before the Board of Directors this morning may do so at this time. Have your hand raised or get Vanessa's attention. So, Vanessa, who has asked to speak this morning? Do you have any names?
We have not received any public comments, and at this time, I do not see any hands raised.
Okay. And I'm always flexible if somebody needs to interject some comments throughout the meeting. We'll go to item number five, election of officers for the calendar year 2022. We have president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary. Does anyone want to entertain a nomination?
Mr. President, I'm very happy with the slate of officers we have for another year, if the others are.
Okay. I think I'm good with that. Is there any... So can you make that in a form of a motion then?
I move that we continue with the slate of officers for one more year that we presently have.
Okay.
I'll go ahead. Oh.
Okay. It's been seconded by Garcia.
Santana.
Santana, I'm sorry. okay, so there's a motion on the floor to approve the officers as they are presented today. So let's go ahead and any discussions on that? If not, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. And thank you for the vote. Thank you for the vote of confidence as well with all our members, directors, and those respective positions. It passes on a 5-0 vote. I hope it shows a message that our district is doing very well, and there's a good working relationships with each one of us. So again, I'm happy and I'm very thankful for that. We'll go to item number six, committee reports. We have the Water Resources Committee that has reported, and that's the only one. So is Chairman Trevino on that committee? Is there anything to add to that report, or are you good?
No, we're good with that. Nothing to add, Mr. President.
Okay. So let's go ahead and so, Tom, do we take a vote on these, on the committees? I forgot.
No.
So we'll just receive and file those reports, and then we'll go to item number 7, the consent calendar. We have 5 different items there before us. So is there a motion to approve the consent calendar as presented?
Motion, so Trevino.
Second, Garcia.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by Trevino and Garcia. Let's go ahead and take a roll call vote. Vanessa?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. So the consent calendar has been approved on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number 8, actions discussion items. We have 2 before us. We'll go to item 8, the cyclic storage agreement with the Metropolitan and Watermaster. So this has went through our resources committees with discussion. Tom, can you highlight some of the action from the committee and the recommendation?
Yeah, so this was reviewed before the Water Resources and Facility Management Committee last Wednesday, a week ago. The committee fully supports moving forward and the board adopting this action. The main modifications in the cyclic agreement dates all the way back to 1985 and has had multiple amendments to it. But Watermaster, Metropolitan, and Upper District have had discussions and agree that it would be beneficial to change some of the provisions in the agreement. And the primary changes are, number one, change the term of the agreement from 5 years to 10 years and change the amount of storage allowed under the agreement from 100,000 acre feet to 200,000 acre feet. And those changes will help us better manage our delivery and use of imported water to the basin. So this is anticipated to be considered by the Watermaster Board at their meeting in February. Be happy to answer.
So this increases our storage capacity, doubles it pretty much, right?
Yeah, doubles the capacity, the storage allowed under this agreement.
No, that's something that we should all celebrate. Is there any other comments or questions from my fellow colleagues on this item? If not, then Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. So item 8A is passed by a 5-0 vote. So we dispense of that. So we'll go to 8B, which is a 2020 census recap and redistricting plan. This may require further discussion. So Tom, can you set that up, and then we'll go into this issue?
We can bring up the presentation. So I'm going to present the data from the 2020 census. This data has been compiled by Stetson to provide us with information on the population changes from 2010 to 2020 within each division, within the district boundaries, as well as the demographics within those divisions. And I don't know if I do have the presentation ready to go, but I don't know if I can share my screen. There it is. All right. So the division population ethic. So I want to talk about how we went through this. And this is following the Voters' Right Act and the Fair Maps Act. So the population within each division was estimated, and we say estimated because the census is always also an estimate. It's they try and get it as accurate as possible, but it is not always precise, as everyone knows. And so we look at census blocks, census tracts, and then down to the census block level. And sometimes those census blocks are bifurcated by our division boundaries. So in those cases, Stetson uses their GIS mapping system to split that census block proportionally by area, so the population is divided between two divisions if a division boundary intersects a census block. And then the citizen voting age population is the determining factor when drawing division boundaries. So I just want to let you know some of the data I'm going to show you is total population, but we've also taken a look at voting age population, which very, very closely matches the total population. So the numbers do align. Next slide. I'm sorry. I forgot I'm running the slideshow. I guess I'm talking to myself. So there's some interesting data coming out of this census. So from 2010 to 2020, our population actually decreased by about 1,000. And I would say 1,000 out of our, you know, roughly 700,000, 800,000 population is really within the range of the accuracy of the census. But three of the five divisions had larger population declines, division three and five of about 3,600 and 5,800. We did double check this against, so we pulled up those cities, a couple of those cities, their census data, and that does show a similar trend. And then division four had a very large population increase of about almost 8,000. And so from that range, the average division population decreased by about 2.9 to 2.2%. And actually what's that done is it's made those division populations more equal. It's actually moved more population to the divisions that were a little short and moved people out of divisions that were a little high in terms of population. So here's the differences, total population by division. And it's, you know, we're right at about 860,000. 2010 to 2020. This is the 10-year change. You see those changes both down and up within those divisions. And the percent change, and this is not the percent deviation, this is the percent change over the 10-year period. And so when we look at the percentages by division, in 2010, the deviation ranged from as small as 0.3% to as high as 4.7%. And you see we go forward, now our percent deviation from average has dropped to the highest is 4.6%, and the lowest, I guess you would say, is negative 0.9%. So we're pretty close in terms of population in 2020. The criteria for evaluating population spread is 10%. The guidance is you want to be within 10%. Deviation for each of the districts or divisions. And so then we took that data and we used the voting age population. And when we use voting age population, actually the numbers get even closer with a maximum of a negative 3.3% deviation and the smallest being a 1.7% deviation. So pretty closely aligned. So then we move on to demographics. And I know these tables are a little complicated. But what I'm going to try and do is just hone in. I'm going to go one more slide. So we've done it by race and ethnicity, and I don't believe I can fully explain the difference. I'm going to go back. So if we look at ethnicity and at the five divisions, and if we see the, I just want to go and highlight the ethnic minorities and their population within each division. So, and the major ethnic minorities. So in our division, yes, we do have some African American, very small population of African American in the San Gabriel Valley, at least within our service area, some Native American, but the largest population groups within the San Gabriel Valley are Asian, Hispanic, and white. And so when we look at those, and we look at Asian population, and the first division, well, let's take the first division first. And I believe that is Dr. Fellow. I don't have my map up. But we have a Asian population of 43%, a white population of 20%. And I'm trying to find the Hispanic here. Oh, here's the Hispanic, 30%. So I always round these off to about one third, one third, one third. Second division, Director Trevino. Has a almost a 57% Asian, a 12% white, and about a almost a 30% Hispanic. Third division has a almost 70% Hispanic, 6% white, and about 21% Asian. Fourth division, against 60% Hispanic, 14% white, and about 20% Asian. And the fifth division has 68% Hispanic, 5% white, and about 24% Asian. And so I'll let Steve opine on this, but those numbers speak to that we do have several divisions where what, you know, broadly are considered ethnic minorities have a majority in four of our divisions. So we have three divisions with a Hispanic majority, a significant Hispanic majority, and we have one division with an Asian majority. And that shows that we are taking that into consideration in our district divisional boundaries.
Yeah. If I could jump in, Tom.
Yes, please, Steve.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back and happy new year. Just the law that kind of overlays this whole issue, if you can think about it in two ways. There's a California statute that governs how special districts like upper districts have to redistrict. And the primary concern of that statute is that all the different divisions be the populations be as equal as practicable, which is it understands that you're not going to get complete equality between the divisions. But you have to make an attempt to do that. And like as Tom identified, deviations above 9 or 10% are inherently suspect, but we are in such low deviation that you certainly comply with that aspect of the law. And the other important law that applies is a federal law. That's the Federal Voting Rights Act. And the Voting Rights Act requires that when agencies or cities or counties are redistricting, that they have to respect the voting power of minority bloc interests. And there is a concept that mere percentage population majority is not enough. For example, if one of our divisions was 50.1% Hispanic, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a Hispanic voting bloc with any strength in there. The issue is that it has to be an effective voting bloc. And as you can see from the data, we have three divisions that are, I believe, a clear majority Hispanic. Then those, in given those numbers, those would be considered to be effective voting blocs. And again, in the, I guess it's the second division, majority Asian, and given those percentages at 56.9, that is very likely to be considered an effective voting bloc. So as my conclusion is as constituted, the divisions as set forth in this data meet both the requirements of the California statutes and the Voting Rights Act. And so because the whole issue here is defensibility. If the district is challenged over its divisional boundaries, and in my view, what you have before you is clearly a defensible set of boundaries.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. So there are some other things to consider when making this decision. I'm going to call on Patty to talk a little bit about the Fair Maps Act, and in particular, what's been happening with both the congressional and some of our local state assembly and Senate districts in terms of taking into consideration communities of interest. And so, Patty, can you fill us in on that?
Sorry, I was muted. Good morning, directors. So real briefly, the Fair Maps Act was passed by the California legislature. And what we've learned, Tom and I, in discussing with some potential demographers is that as a special district, we're not required to follow the Fair Maps Act. However, these new requirements that came out of the Fair Maps Act is one, you try to keep cities contiguous. So, you know, every city is located within a district. You're taking into account communities of interest so that you're not splitting, you know, like you know, the, like a foothill area of a Senate district. So you're trying to keep all of those communities together because they share common interests. And then the other thing, obviously, is to make sure that the lines that you draw are contiguous. So it's kind of reducing or minimizing the possibilities of gerrymandering. And then the final one would be to kind of keep sitting elected in their current seat, so you're not pitting one against the other. And so the reason why these were important when the when California was drawing the lines is because there were instances where for the congressional seats, California did lose a congressional seat. So it was setting the guidelines for those maps to be redrawn, and then also for the state Senate and the state assembly. And you saw that, I'm sure some of you knew that, that there were some changes within the San Gabriel Valley, both for the, on the assembly side and on the Senate side. And, you know, they tried to do the best that they can, but again, those were just the set guidelines that were implemented to help them, help the commission go through the process. So as we were told, as special districts, we don't have to, but if we were to go into, if it was the board's discretion to go forward and to look at redistricting, what we were told is that could be like a good guidance to follow. And Steve can also, you know, give his opinion on that, but it's more of like, we would just look at it as a form of guidance to move forward, to try to incorporate some of those qualities or principles into this process.
Thank you, Patty. So this is our last slide, but staff is presenting. We see there's two options for the board. Option one is to keep the status quo, and keep the boundaries as is until we it's reviewed at the next census. And option two is direct staff to proceed with the redistricting plan and evaluate boundary change options in anticipation of this possibility based on our communications with the Government Affairs Committee. We do have two proposals from demographers so that we're ready to go. If the board authorizes this, we would ask for your authorization to enter in a into a contract with one of those demographers so we can get started. This needs to be completed by April 17th and submitted to the county. It does require some public outreach and public hearings. So we're ready to go. I just want to let the board know there's, you know, we can pull the trigger and bring on board one of these demographers if the board approves this. And so we're ready to do either option. Staff are not recommending option one or option two. But if we do recommend option two, staff do have a recommendation on which demographer we should hire. So with that, I'll conclude the presentation and turn it over to President Chavez.
Thank you, Tom. Patty, were you going to chime in or somebody?
Yeah, just one final point really quick that if we were to do this, we are in a short time frame because there was another law that was passed last legislative session. So we have to have new maps drawn and approved by the board by April 17th, I believe. So the deadline was moved up a little bit. So we have between now and then middle April to get this done and send it over to the county.
Yeah. And Patty, I believe we also have a two public hearing requirement on this.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. So I have a question, I guess, to Mr. O'Neill. So if we kept the map exactly the same, even though we lost some population in some districts, would that still meet the voting requirements that set all these rules up?
Yes. You know, given the large population within the Upper District service area, though that population loss of 1,000 people has not affected the percentage variations between the voting age population population in the census data. So the answer is yes.
Okay. And just a side note, those that don't know, so I work for the County of San Bernardino. We just went through our redistricting process and adopted maps for five supervisors in the largest county in the country, San Bernardino. So looking at the loss of population in our area, including in even Los Angeles County, the most of that population moved to the high desert, Victorville, Apple Valley, Hesperia. So when we created the San Bernardino maps, those districts had to, some had to compact, get a little bit smaller because the growth of population there. So if we're losing people, you ask, where do they go? Yeah, half of them did go out of state, Idaho, Nevada, but a lot of people moved to San Bernardino County, and it's all about the economics and the affordability of housing. So it just may be a trend that we're seeing. So getting back to our maps, I'm happy. I think, and you guys and the directors could chime in. I think for the most part, I think we're all happy with who we represent and the communities and the relationships we build. However, I think we need to tinker with the map to make sure that all cities, or not all cities, but most cities are not split up. I know that was a concern with one director. If there's any movement, a precinct here, a precinct there, just to solidify the numbers, then I'm open to that. But I'll open it up to the floor. Any directors have any thoughts or comments about that?
Mr. Chavez?
This yes, Tony Fellow.
I agree with you. We just went through this at Pasadena City College, and the goal was to keep the cities together and to keep school districts together. We did do that, and people seem to be happy with that. But I've always felt that we need to, like you said, whether we have a demographer or not, we haven't done this in Upper District for a while to look at these districts. But I agree that cities should be, we should try to keep cities intact. I have parts of three or four different cities, and we could easily readjust some of the maps if we don't want to do a full demographic study. But I always believe, too, right now we have an opportunity with the redistricting of that's gone on in the state to have a parallel to the state Senate district, even a Highland.
So, Tom, did Tony Fellow?
Tom? Or...
Yeah, Ed, I don't know if you can hear, but Tony is speaking.
Ed? What happened to Ed?
He's still on Zoom, but might be having some internet issues. So until Ed gets his connection back, Director Santana, if you want to take over conducting the meeting.
Sure. Okay. Director Fell, if you want to continue with your comments.
I really would like to. Is it possible that we can move on and come back to this? Because I'd like Ed to, since I'm responding to Ed. Chavez, is that a problem?
I mean, it makes sense to me. This is a big issue. I think that we should have all the directors' input, including the president. So is that okay, Tom? Can we move on?
Yeah.
Revisit?
Yeah. Yep. So we can move on with the informational reports and come back to this item. We'll text President Chavez and let him know what the situation is.
Okay, excellent. All right, so we're going to put 8B on hold for now and move on to... 9A, nine informational items. We have press releases and news articles. Those are just for us to review. We have attorney's report, item 10.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. It's good to be back, and I have a brief report this morning. Since the last meeting, we worked, spent some time on the cyclic storage agreement with Tom, finalizing that agreement. And worked with Tom and Patty concerning these redistricting issues that are before us today, of course. And we also had a Public Record Act request that we responded to with Evelyn. And we had a personnel issue that was addressed as well. That concludes my attorney's report for this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. Do we have any questions for our attorney? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 11, engineer's report.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Happy New Year to everybody. It's good to see everybody. You know, I'll just throw this out. Seeing everybody on the Zoom just makes you wish we had meetings in person again. It's been so long since we've seen you folks. I looked at you, Charles Trevino, and I said, Charles, I haven't seen you in months. It's crazy. So I miss your hugs. Anyway.
Good to see you.
I know. It's just hard. It really is. As good as people work together and to have meetings to actually see people, sometimes we get tired of this. But anyway, okay, we have water at least, folks. We have some water. I'll give you the Key Well. The Key Well as of January 7th was 182.1, still dropping, but it only dropped 0.4 of a foot during the prior week. So it has slowed down. We're not putting any water to the spreading grounds, as you would expect, because all of the water we're getting on the watershed is being held up in the canyons, which is good. And I'll give you some information about how much water we got. It was a pretty good rainfall, especially because we had a rain event or a couple of smaller rain events before that. So we did actually soak the watershed a little bit. So and the previous rainstorms, we did not get a lot of runoff from those storms. But this one, we did a pretty good job. We got some pretty good runoff. So, and I'll give you those numbers in 1 second. As I mentioned, we're 0.4 of a foot lower than we were the prior month. We're still 18 feet lower than we were last year. We all know we've been through drought. So that's where we are. Up in the canyon, combined storage as of January 10th, this is the December storms, is now up to over 34,000 acre feet, 34,000, almost 300 actually. Total capacity is 83. So this puts us about 41% of capacity. We were riding at minimum pool for a long, long time. We were riding at around 10 or 12,000 acre feet right in that range. So we got a pretty good increase with this storm. The numbers for the storm events themselves. Now, this is just for the storm events. As you know, we had inflow coming in from San Gabriel before and it continues after, but from the storm events themselves, I'll give you some information as to what happened. Increase in storage in December, just in December, was in Cogswell, way up at the top. That's a very small reservoir, 4 acre feet. San Gabriel, 185 acre feet. This is 2020. I'm on the wrong table. Cogswell. 5,700 acre feet. So Cogswell was almost dry. We got almost 6,000 acre feet in Cogswell. San Gabriel, the big reservoir that's up in the canyon, the biggest one we have up above, 17,000. We're at 17,000 now, 500 acre feet. Morris is 11,000 for a total of 34,000. We actually increased storage from the storms of a little over 10,000 acre feet from these storms, just from the runoff from these storms, mostly because the watershed was pretty saturated. So we had good runoff. So that was a good event. Now, as you know, we're a little bit dry right now. So that's what we've got for the events in December and runoff and storage in the canyon. As I mentioned, we're not putting water in the spreading grounds yet. Imported water, Upper District continues to coordinate with the city of Azusa to feed their water feeding facility and keep the San Gabriel Canyon spreading grounds replenished while it's this dry to keep the wells operating up there for Azusa. So in December, a little over 2,000 acre feet spread up in the canyon primarily for the canyon pumpers up there. Rainfall through December 31st. Puddingstone average through December 31st is 6 inches. At Puddingstone, which is up in the canyon, we almost got 8 inches, 7.83. So we're 131% of normal, long-term average normal through December. LA Civic Center, they got more. It actually centered over the downtown LA and rained pretty good. So average rainfall through December in LA is 4.12, a little over 4 inches. LA actually got almost 9.93 inches, almost 10 inches. So they're at 241% of long-term average in downtown. So that's how these storm cells work. Whenever they land and they start raining, that's where they get the water. More was in LA this time than in the San Gabriel Valley. Typically, we get more, especially up in the canyon, we get more. Water quality, December, we did sample 18 wells under the Title 22 water quality program for DDW. In November, 82 wells were sampled under that program with no new wells identified as being shut down due to water quality issues. I'll just briefly, I think Tom may have some information. I know some of you were at the Water Resources Committee meeting this last week, and I was on it, but I couldn't talk. I thought I might have picked up the virus and all that, but it was just a head cold, but boy, my head was really plugged. So I'm all recovered. I tested. I'm clear. So we're all good there, but I participated, but Jenny Saverin, who's on the meeting on this call, she actually reported. I'll just give you some basic information statewide. Tom may have more. I think he does. Let's see. Statewide, they do a couple of things right now. One of them is they're looking at like snowpack for this time of year and then snowpack compared to April, because that's the end of the snow year for the state. In the Northern Sierra, which is in the Trinity area, the snowpack for this year is almost 150% of long-term average, and it's about almost 60% of our snowpack for April. So we do have a good start for April. We don't have enough to get us through the year, but we do have a good start. Central Sierra, very similar, 145% of average for right now and 57% of April. Southern Sierra, which is down into our Sierras, it's about 157% of average for this time of year and 55% of what we would expect for April, the end of the snow year. Very similar with the water content, which is a critical factor of the snow. If it's real dry, we don't get a lot of water out. If it's wet, we get a lot more water out of it. So the snow water content is very, very similar. It's about all the way down the state between 55 and 58% of the snow water content we would expect for April. So that's all pretty good. So that's the statewide conditions. We need more. There's no question we need more, but this is more than we expected from all the reports we were getting from all of the hydrologists. They're saying that it's going to be another dry year. So we have a good start, but we do need more water. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And President Chavez is back on.
Yes. Thank you, Tom. Sorry about that. My phone froze, and I'm back. So thank you for that report, Mr. Johnson. Is there any questions from my colleagues? If not, thank you for the report, Steve. And yes, we're happy for the water that we received, but we're still behind on that. So the last discussion I heard Dr. Fellow on talking about the redistricting. I'm assuming that we kind of put a pause on that. Are we revisiting that?
Yes, we thought.
That's correct, President.
We thought it was important that you be here. Yes, thank you. We thought it was important that you be here, President Chavez. I was just mentioning that I do agree with you that we need to make some tweaking of our districts to make some cities whole. We just did this at Pasadena City College, and particularly to keep school districts together because of their commonalities. And I think we could do this easily. I don't know if we have to go to a demographer. We haven't done this in years. Maybe it's a good thing that we do go to a demographer. But I think with some of the changes that have gone on with the Congressional Assembly and State Senate districts, it might behoove us to look at these. And I've always felt there should be a foothill district because of the interest there, especially with the fires that are going on and some of the water problems. But I think we need to do some tweaking, whether it means to hire a demographer or not. But I agree with you on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
Yes, President Chavez.
Yes, go ahead, Director Santana.
I'm kind of the mind. I can understand that maybe there's some tweaks, but I'm kind of the mind of if this is fitting within the guidelines of districts at this time, there's really no need to go in and change the boundaries. It's that we have a lot of, as the presentation showed, we have a lot of diversity right now. We have different groups that are, you know, majorities. And if this is good, then I don't see the need for us to go in and address minor changes, because that is something that could take away from what we have now. We don't know how that's going to go. So that's my thinking. If we leave well enough alone. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments from directors?
President Chavez, this is Director Trevino.
Yes, please.
I agree with Director Santana. We've been informed by our counsel that we, by our attorney, that we meet the guidelines. We meet the state federal guidelines as outlined. And for us to spend $40,000, $50,000 when really we've been advised that we don't really have to, I think would be somewhat irresponsible. I also think that we've done a pretty good job of trying to stay balanced in terms of ethnicity and in terms of the racial balance within our district. So I don't believe we need to tweak it anymore. And so I don't think we ought to do anything except continue as we have. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else wish any comments?
President Chavez, so we're not no longer on the public comment period, but we do have a member of the public with their hand raised. So at the discretion, we're not in the public comment section of the agenda, but it's the discretion of the board, certainly the president, to allow public comment if you like.
So I will entertain that, but on that question, whether we do nothing or we hire a demographer, or whatever that name is, word is. So, does all those requirements still kick in as far as public hearings? Because I know in the county of San Bernardino, we had like 19 public hearings and all that. So, do we still have to go through that whole process, or just adopt the map and it's over? What's the public comments on that requirement? Steve O'Neill?
There still is a process. We're required to submit the boundaries. Even if it's status quo, we still have to have go through the process and submit the boundaries to the county.
Okay. So with that understanding, that's fine. So yes, so Tom, let's go ahead and take that public comment on this topic.
Right. We do have one hand raised. It's Cynthia Sternquist, and I see she is unmuted. And Cynthia, go ahead.
Good morning, directors. Good morning. First of all, I would like to thank you for the work that you provide in helping us maintain clean water in our cities. I would just like to share that I very much appreciate the presentation that showed the map numbers as far as how the district has done with maintaining equity in all its membership cities. And it does seem that through the past 10 years, you have really reached the highest level of equity amongst the city's representation that has been for the last decade. So I want to thank you for that. And I believe the goal of the census information is to help reach equity, and it seems that that is what you have achieved. And again, congratulations for that. I just wanted to quickly question. I know that the attorney shared that there were two qualified areas that you had to meet to have effective districting. And I believe one was the effective voting blocks. And what was the other one? Was it a federal requirement?
No, there's the state law governing special districts and redistricting requires that each division have populations that are equal as practicable. And the law doesn't tell us what practicable means, but it identifies that you're not going to get to exact specificity. And the case law and the interpretations have determined that if you're under 9%, you're generally in a defensible position, that the map has the required integrity.
Okay, thank you. So it seems that those were the areas you said that the district would be able to defend should anybody choose to question that, correct? Okay. And then I would just like to mention that we just went through the county redistricting using the census, and there were so many meetings and so much attention that went out from our individual city, and we actually partnered with the cities of Arcadia, because Arcadia and Temple City were historically in many of the maps, except the one that was finally decided on, were, you know, separated, being carved out into another district. And one of the things that kept coming up was that Temple City and Arcadia were very happy with the districting that we had, and that included the water district from the upper district. So I just wanted to share that we are very supportive of the status quo. I know sometimes the status quo sounds like, oh, maybe that is, you know, just same old, but it's really not when it's something is working. And I want to share that I definitely agree with Director Santana. If something's not broken, why try and fix it and go through all this, you know, meetings and public comment? Cities were frustrated with the process, even though it tried to be as transparent as possible. If you would choose to change the maps, I would definitely urge the directors to vote to have, you know, public comment. And I know the attorney, you did say even if status quo was part of what the district chose today to do, that would still require public comment. So I was very happy to hear that there would be a very transparent process. So that's all I needed to share. And again, thank you all for the work that you do.
Thank you. So, Tom, at this time,
Director Chavez, I do have a question. This is Director Garcia, if I may.
Yes, please do.
So were there any cities that expressed like any sort of discontent with the way the boundaries are now? Tom?
No, we have not really had any dialogue on this matter with any of the representatives from our cities within the district.
Okay. And the last time this was adjusted was when? The last census, or?
Yeah, in 2010, the district did hire a demographer, and they did make some significant changes. And number one, to create that Asian majority district, there were significant changes made to create that Asian majority district. So there were a few small changes, but there were some larger changes when they did the 2010 census.
Okay, thank you. So when we split up cities, it was based on creating that Asian majority district, not necessarily, I mean, they weren't arbitrary. They were based on numbers.
I can't speak to that because I wasn't here as to, you know, whether they considered splitting up cities or not splitting up cities. It just ended up that when they did create that Asian majority district, cities were split, that weren't split in prior to that.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Tom, what is the possibility that the board give direction to keep the district similar to what it is, and then through public testimony and the process that we have to go through, that we, you know, the public or someone points out an error or a suggestion, we could still tweak the map at that time too, can we not?
I'll let Steve answer that.
Yes. And what we've seen statewide, and I can speak to my experience with the county of San Bernardino. We had Director Chavez, you noted that there was 16 different meetings by the advisory commission that reached a conclusion as to the map they wanted. And then a map was submitted by an outside organization that at the essentially at the 11th hour that the board had to consider. But the board has discretion up until the submission to the county as to what map they approve. And but that, again, that has to be done at a public meeting. And so, yes, there can be adjustments made to the map along the way.
So listening to the feedback of directors, it doesn't look like we want to do something drastic. However, I think we want to leave, and that's why I asked the question, if we could leave the option open for later discussion on moving a line here or there through the public process that's required by law anyway. So I don't know if the board is ready to move forward to saying we probably accept the map as is, but we're open to any discussion as we move through this process. Is that something that we could do with Steve, Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
And any directors, are you guys comfortable with that, or do you want to go a different direction?
Mr. President, this is Darrell Stravino. I need a clarification from the attorney.
Yes, go ahead.
Steve, if we keep the map as is, the district boundaries as is, are you saying that we still have to have public comment and take it to the public, or do we just present it to the county and they in turn ratify our vote, our action?
So my understanding is that there is a process that has to be followed. It could be, you know, it'll be at a presumably at a regular meeting. You're not going to have a separate public hearing. You could have the public hearing on your agenda, but this is the process for approval. It's done every 10 years, of course, after the census, and it gives the public the opportunity to comment. And so in that process, there'll be a map presented. You'll open a public hearing, get a staff report, and if anyone would like to comment, they can comment. And if there's no comment, and it's the board's pleasure to go ahead and adopt the map, let's call it the status quo map, the board will, after that process is completed, would submit that map to the county. So the short answer is, yes, there is a process that has to be followed.
And that process. So regardless of the direction today, whether it's status quo or start looking at changes of boundaries or even taking no action today, there will be some other steps required. We will have to prepare and present to the board the official maps of whatever boundaries there are for adoption. And as Steve mentioned, at that point, if it's status quo, there is still at every board meeting the opportunity for public comment on items on the agenda, but it wouldn't necessarily require a separate public hearing. So, and I think President Chavez, I think what you were suggesting is if the board takes no action today, they could still take action and they would need to take subsequent action on approving a status quo map or subsequent action on reviewing any changes. So, the only issue with if changes are forthcoming and we don't take action today on evaluating those changes, we do have that April 17th window that we need to look at. So what I'm saying is, I guess there is a third option for the board that staff would say we're comfortable with for the moment, and that is take no action on this item today.
Mr. President, if I may be allowed to continue my comment before I was rudely interrupted by the general manager. Just kidding, Tom. Okay. You know, what kind of action, Steve, could we take today? I am inclined to, and I agree with the comment that was made by Ms. Sternquist. I agree with the comment made by Director Santana. If it's not broke, why fix it? Why spend $40,000-$50,000? Yeah, I'm inclined to keep the status quo, to vote in that direction, and to move forward. If we have to have public meetings, so be it. If we get input from cities, so be it. But I think we've done a very good job of meaning ethnic and representation on all our districts. So so would a motion along those lines be in order, or what would be the quote unquote process?
Well, I think if that was your intent, I think you would be moving to instruct staff to begin the process and prepare a map that reflects the current boundaries and subject it to the statutory process involved.
Okay, based on that, Mr. President, I so move.
Thank you. Is there a second?
May I request what the another option would be to possibly bring this item up for I don't know if this is within Robert's rules, but I would like some further clarification on the second option, if possible, or do we have to wait for a second before discussing?
No, the staff could address your question as to the second option.
Or the third option, yes. So we have the option to, I think what's on the table is to keep the boundaries 100%. The next option is to keep the boundaries, yet leave some room for discussion, as long as that will not impact our ability to adopt a map. Is that correct? That's another option?
Correct.
Okay.
I'll take that as an amendment, Director Santana.
Thank you. Okay.
And I'd be happy to support that.
Excellent.
So I will second that amendment. Okay. Just to clarify for the minute, so Director Trevino moved, seconded by Director Santana, to proceed with the process for confirming the current map boundaries, but leaving open the option for discussion and potential amendment by the board.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor, and it's been seconded. I'm leaning that direction in the sense that, but I'm also keeping the option open, and should there be any change to the map. I think, like I said, overall, I like the maps as they are. But like I said, through this process, if there's anything that we overlook, I want to have the option to still make a quick change here and there if that's needed and supported by the board, of course. So I would support that motion. Is there any other thoughts or comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chavez, I also, if that is support Jennifer's motion and Trevino's motion, if we can come back and perhaps we have some districts that have more residents than others, and if we need to tweak it, we can do that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion before we take a vote? If that's the case, Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. So the direction has, the motion has been approved on a 5-0 vote to give direction to staff to start that process and notify the public for public hearings. And so be it. Let's find out how this is going to turn out. So stay tuned. With that, there's no other action that needs to take place under item 8. So let's go to item number 9. Informational items, there's press releases and news articles that you may read at your leisure. Did we ever get to attorney's report?
Yes, President. We did complete the attorney's report and the engineer's report.
Okay. On the attorney's report, I just wanted to add a big thank you to Stephen O'Neill. In his absence, we had good representation from his office. I could testify that Mr. O'Neill was working very hard during the absence of our board meetings. Mr. O'Neill, can you remind the board where you were in San Bernardino?
Oh, sure. the county of San Bernardino had a county council who retired in September, and they needed someone to come in and serve as interim county council for 3 months to allow for the transition to a new county council. And so I served as that interim county council for that period, working with the Board of Supervisors and supervising, I believe, about 65 attorneys in handling all the county's affairs. It was really kind of a great experience for me because I didn't realize how much counties do for all of us, from jails, airports, hospitals. We had 7,000 kids in foster care that we're responsible for. So it was really a fascinating and really challenging little sabbatical for me. But I appreciate the board's indulgence in giving me the time off to do that. And I also appreciate all the people at the county who are real supportive. So thanks for the opportunity, President Chavez, to bring this to the board's attention.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to say that while the board, our board did not have you present, I was very happy to work with you here in the county. As some of you know, I'm a chief of staff for one of the supervisors, and Mr. O'Neill, when he came in, he was dynamic. Some people asked me, where did this guy come from? I said, hey, he came from our district. And I was very, very proud to knowing Mr. O'Neill and his experience. And he did a terrific job out here. And we actually miss him. I wish we could clone you.
So, I don't think my wife feels the same way as you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for your service. We'll continue and go to item... And we conclude at item 11, the engineer's report, and we'll go to item number 12, general manager's report. Mr. Love.
Thank you, Chairman. I won't add too much to the written report, but I do want to say at our Water Resources and Facility Management Committee last week, I did give a detailed report on the water supply situation as it pertains to primarily the state water project. And leading into the Metropolitan Port report, which is next on the agenda, the Metropolitan member agencies who are dependent on state water project deliveries have been meeting with MET staff. These meetings are convened by MET almost on a weekly basis for the past 2.5 months to discuss the actions that are contemplated both short-term and long-term to deal with a state water project allocation as low as 0%, which it currently remains. In spite of the December precipitation, those rains should push that allocation up to at least 5%. We're hopeful it could get as high as 10% when they make their next announcement from DWR, which is expected a little earlier than they normally do, expected near the end of January. And so this is the hot topic of the day at Metropolitan Water District. Since the Metropolitan report next, I wanted to conclude with that and see if the board has any questions. Oh, I do also want to say last night we did present the district update, water supply update to the city of Rosemead. We're going to present to the Water East City Council on the 25th of January. And at 11 o'clock today, we do have a producer meeting and we'll be discussing water supply, drought actions, and other items of interest to our producers. And with that, concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions for the general manager? If not, then thank you for the report. We'll move on to item number 13, a metropolitan report. Mr. Fellow.
Thank you, Mr. President. The MWD met Monday and Tuesday of this week, and I believe most of the information is in your packet, but two issues stand out over the past 2 days, and one deals with the continued negotiations with the San Diego Water Quality Authority and their lawsuit against the Metropolitan Water District. But that's all I can tell you since it's a closed session item. And we just hope that we can get this resolved. It has to go to court, but we're moving closer and closer. The other deals with the board's approval to revise the administrative code so a new committee structure proposed by Chairwoman Gloria Gray will become effective next month. And this results in the following: a new underserved community standing committee, a new imported water standing committee, establishing the Conservation and Local Resources Special Committee to a Standing Committee and renaming it the Conservation and Local Resources One Water Committee. A new Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee is a standing committee, and the Bay Delta Committee will be eliminated. The chair will name committee chairs, I believe, the end of this month or in February. And that's my report, Mr. President.
Thank you. I wanted to confirm or to state that to the board that I was listening to the Legals and Claims Committee yesterday and say that Director Fellow did a good job on that committee yesterday. Yes, thank you.
Very
much. We'll go to item number 14, a water quality authority report that's in our packet. But I think a lot of us already know that. First, the board is the makeup of the board is a 7-member board. You have 2 water producers, 3 water districts, and then 2 city representatives, members of city councils. And those 2 councils are split up, one with pumping rights and one with non-pumping rights. And we had an election for cities with pumping rights. Jorge Marquez has represented that seat. It came up to an election, and he was opposed by the mayor of Azusa, Robert Gonzalez. After the vote, Robert Gonzalez won, and Jorge Marquez came in second. Although there's only 2 candidates, Jorge Marquez automatically becomes the alternate to the board if he wishes to serve in that capacity. So we do have a new member on our board. I look forward to working with Mayor Gonzalez, and I want to thank Jorge Marquez for his service on the board as well. So with that, there's no other comments on my part. I'll move to item number 15, Water Master Report. That's in our packet. Does any director wish to share in that report?
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Then we will move forward to item number 16, AB 1234 Compliance Report. There's not much action on that, so I'll go to item number 17, Director's Comments. So, Dr. Fellow.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just like to ask the board if we can adjourn today in memory of former Assemblyman Willard Murray. And I don't know if you served with him, Mr. President, in the State Assembly, but he was a member of the DWR and served on the Metropolitan Water District. I think his whole tenure was with me on the board. We became very good friends. I shall miss him. And he always had a smile and always had something up his sleeve, but did a good job. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just on that comment with Director Murray and former legislator, I'm old, but not that old. He served a wonderful, long, long time in office in the legislature, but I did serve with his son, Senator Murray, and he was just as dynamic as his father. He was amazing. He had an amazing life, a long, long, long life, long history in politics, and we're going to miss him as well. So thank you for adjourning in his memory.
I want to tell a little story about him. We had a prime minister from a small African country. We were doing some work, and he said, "Tony, we're going to go there." And he went up to the prime minister. He said, "Tony Fellow and I are going to visit you, and we want to have some water talks." And he bugged me for years and years, but we never got there. But hopefully he's seeing it from heaven. He was a wonderful man.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So we'll go, we'll continue, and we'll go to Director Garcia.
I have no comments. Thank you.
Okay. Director Trevino.
Yes, I also knew Director Willard Murray and had an opportunity to serve with him when he was appointed from West Basin to the Metropolitan Board. I got to work with him. I will miss him. He was a good man. So I concur with with adjourning in his memory. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice President Santana.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope everyone just had a nice holiday, a nice New Year's. I don't think we've met since then. And I hope everyone's staying healthy. I actually did get COVID. I tested positive and I have recovered. And I just saw that the WHO released, World Health Organization has released that they expect half of Europe to be infected with the Omicron variant over the next few weeks. And I'm sure that the U.S. is probably not far behind that. So hope you're all healthy. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. And then my comments, I guess, related to COVID too. No, this last variant has just went through our communities and country and state like a tornado. At the last meeting, I told you I also had COVID during the holidays, and I'm fully vaccinated with the booster and the flu shot. But here in our county hospitals in San Bernardino, those that are hospitalized, and I love playing the odds, at our hospitals, at our medical center, there was about, and I'm just estimating some of those numbers, but the numbers of those people that were hospitalized because of COVID, there was about 50 people that were in serious condition because of COVID, but they were not vaccinated at all. Then you had maybe 5 people that at least had one shot of the vaccination that were hospitalized. Then you had 2 people that were vaccinized, but they didn't have their booster shot. And only one person was hospitalized that had all their vaccinations plus the booster. So looking at the odds, only like one person. And then those people that were not vaccinated, you know, there was 50 of them. I'm thinking, for me, I would play safe. And that's why I believe the way I believe, just looking at the results in our hospital. It's terrible that anybody has to go to a hospital for this situation. Before this new variant came out, we thought we were going to be done with COVID. I actually scheduled a cruise coming up in March, thought COVID was going to be over. And with this whole new wave, it's going to be a little bit scary, and I don't know what the requirements are going to be in March, but I'm still looking forward to this break or this cruise that we're going to go on. So hopefully everybody stays safe, and wish everybody well at our district office as well. Thank you. So with that, we'll go to item number 18, future agenda items. If there's any items, please let us know. And there's no closed session today. So, Tom, is there any other business that we need to dispense with before we adjourn?
No other business from staff.
Okay. With that, everybody stay safe. Everybody stay well. And I move to adjourn.